I can't tell if I did this right again. So you guys know right now. Nine times out of ten, I have no clue what I'm doing. And I also don't know if I like the lighting here. Looks kind of ghetto. Like, do I dim this? Do I? Is it because I'm on Elgato? Yeah, I'm on Elgato. Let's see if over here if this changes. Nope. I think we might be in the long wrong live stream. That's the best thing I can do. I fucking hate this thing. I have no clue what I'm doing. Oh, Marshall. I can never tell if I'm actually live on this thing. It's entirely embarrassing. And now people are going to get to watch this in the aftermath. I know that Caleb and the guys are supposed to come on, but they're obviously not picking up. You know the best thing of working with people who have lower IQs than you? You always feel like the smarter, smart person. Like you don't have to do anything because you surround yourself with idiots. Everything gets a lot like you're just like, I must be a genius because these guys are so stupid. This has got to be the norm. I think if you weave Caleb and Parker together, you'd potentially get that of the IQ of like a gerbil. Like if you got like a gerbil inside of Petco and you're like, hey man, we're gonna get you to figure out some basic problems. And if you figure out these basic problems, we'll feed you snacks. Like you'll get like a carrot. Or like potentially like something else that's more delicious. Caleb and Parker would struggle to even match the capabilities of that gerbil trying to get like a candy corn. So understand that's why they are the way they are. We're gonna bring them on now, guys. So do not let them know that we've been bad mouthing them. We're gonna switch attitudes in 3, 2, 1. Hey, Caleb. How are you, big guy?
I heard everything you were saying. How
What's up, bud? Can we get you a
you doing,
pudding
man?
pop or something? Can we get you a pudding
What?
pop? Can we get you a pudding
Love a
pop?
pudding pop.
Now, the thing is Caleb, I would say, is only here on time because I called him just before this. Now, Parker, of the two of these guys, like you guys know that dog. That's always having to go to the doctors. Like, I had this dog growing up that we called the Conehead Pooch, and we had to put a cone around its head because it was such a dumb dog that it hit its head all the time and gave itself concussions because he had zero proximity and spatial awareness. That's Parker. Parker has a child, which I'm amazed. Like, if I was Parker's like wife, partner, I'd be like, okay, we're gonna wrap this child in bubble wrap today, and we're gonna let you watch him, Parker. So these are our
Terrifying to think
guests. These are our guests today.
about.
I'm gonna call Parker. Actually, I do want to just talk to you and just I want to get an understanding. Bro, you're retarded, Parker.
Marshall, you down to the FTP next week with us?
No way. Hey guys, here's the other retard. All right, everybody act normal. Everybody act normal. What's up, dude? How are you? Do you want to get a pudding pop? You want a popsicle?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not really a pudding guy. I could definitely go for a cookie. I'm always down for a cookie.
All right, let's be straight here. You're telling me you don't like a good old thing of tapioca or rice pudding?
Rice pudding is the best.
Rice
Well,
pudding is
rice,
fire.
well, rice pudding is different than normal, jello. I love rice. Holy shit.
Here's the real test. Do you guys know what the best pudding company in the world is?
The missus, my pudding.
No, Come on. Bad, bad anybody?
No, no.
Oh, man. No. I'm going to nail you guys right now. This is going to be so good.
Now I'm very curious.
This,
like a cat.
This is, I mean, this is it. You guys are about to have your world rocked. And anybody in the notes know this? I mean, fuck, Marshall, you live in Louisiana. You should know this
is
shit.
Is it Rice to Riches?
Close.
Is it Snack Pack?
Cozy Shack.
Cozy Shack.
Dude, Cozy Shack is such fire. Dude, we should buy bundles of this right now.
We need to get a sponsorship through them.
I know,
Go Brewing and Cozy Shack sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this one right here. Look at this. I mean, look at this. Look at the macros on this bad boy.
It looks awesome.
Yeah,
just
the
looks thick.
It's incredible.
It's just milk, rice, and cane sugar. I mean, listen, you can't get sick from those ingredients. If you're running an ultra, dude, this is what you need because you got that. You got that simple sugar, and then you got rice, and you got a little milk to hold you down.
You get free delivery on your first three orders?
Yeah, as you should. As you should, because Cozy Shack's one of those kind of companies. You know what's amazing that I just watched the other day? Costco has kept, even with inflation, its Costco hot dog at the price of $1.50.
The owner won't increase the price.
Yeah, he's literally on record saying, yeah, just like Caleb said, he won't do it.
I mean, by my standards, somebody is running the most successful chain in the entire country, if not the world, as far as a consumer goods store is, that's impressive.
So you do know that Costco is also one of the largest pizza sellers in the world.
Probably.
They sell so much pizza there that it actually puts them up there in the pizza company world of how many slices of pizza they sell for a year, like as one of the top.
You guys are going to have to talk amongst each other and don't talk badly about me, but I need to go get a pen so that I can write down notes for the show.
I thought he was like, hold on, before we start, I had too much.
He's only seven minutes in. I'm going to say, what's going on?
He's like, oh, got to go to the pooper.
I wish, dude. I wish. Hold on a second. You guys talking about the other time.
Well, I know he's going to bring it up sooner or later. When is your try coming up, Parker?
April 7th, Sunday. April 7th. The half is that Sunday, and then Ironman Texas is 20 days later. On Saturday. So, like, just shy of
that was in Galveston, right?
Yeah, the 70.3 is Galveston. That's Ironman 70.3 Texas is Galveston.
I thought about doing that one as, like, a feeler for starvation, but...
Oh, dude, come on down.
You can do the half?
Yeah.
In Galveston?
Just kind of like a feeler and just, like, get my body, like, into...
What is that, April 10th?
No, Galveston's April 7th.
Wow. Okay, FTP scores. Dude. Let's go here. Yeah. All right, so let's continue on this note. Caleb is talking a big game like he's going to finish starvation this year. Now,
I believe it.
Last I checked, Caleb was on the halfway mark with mild training. With specific training, I'm really assuming you got to get this thing done.
For sure.
And you're aiming for an 11-hour Ironman. I mean, this is the 11-hour Ironman, I think, is very hard in itself. But I think that finishing the starvation thing, would you double down and go to starvation?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I want to do starvation terribly bad.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things. Now, will Marshall do starvation?
Marshall signed up. He's coming.
Is he really?
From what he told me. I don't know. We'll see. Marshall, you signed up or did you lie to me?
Alex is also talking this big game like he is signed up for the 100 miler and he still hasn't signed up for that. He's just walking a ton. So this is one of those kind of things where have you actually signed up for starvation yet?
Me? No, I haven't yet.
Caleb?
I signed up the day after I DNF'd.
Ooh, that's heavy, dude. That's heavy. Nice. So some of the things I want to talk about. Some of the things I want to talk about in training for this is I want us to all test each other in an FTP score soon. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 20-minute watt test, average watts.
Okay.
You guys down to do this in the next 2 weeks?
I'm down.
Yeah.
Okay, estimates. Because Caleb talks shit to me and says he can beat me on it. Today he's kind of relinquished a little bit of that.
No, I said I could beat you in acid bath. I said I could wreck Cole in an FTP though.
Dude, you cannot touch me in acid bath either.
Yes, I could. I'd wreck yourself.
I will double down. Okay, so let's just go here because I want to start looking at some things. I want to know because I'm starting to get really obsessed with cycling. What do you think your FTP is? I'm going to put this in the notes right here.
Mine right now is 325.
All right, what do you think you got, Caleb?
Shit, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say anywhere between 320 and 330.
Yeah. You got to pick one number. You can only have one, and you will die by this number.
330.
Is Price right? Price is righted me. 326,
no whammy, Bob. No whammy.
Okay.
Or that's Drew now. Sorry, Drew. It's not Bob anymore.
Marshall, what do you think you could get in an FTP?
Yeah, let's get some numbers down here, guys. I'll put down some cash. Whoever can get the highest score. By the way, B-Sport workouts coming out next week, guys. 10-minute max kettlebell snatch test. Alternate whenever you want. Just letting you guys know.
I got to get back into some strength, like hardcore. I think after these Ironmans, I'm going to buckle down and do like a strength cycle because I've gotten weak as fuck.
Dude, when I was training for both of the Ironmans, I was just doing the Mike Mentzer thing where I would just train once a week, really, once every 7 days, and I would lift as heavy as I could. And it would suck for 2 days, but then by the final 5 days of the cycle, you felt like a million bucks and you're not touching the weight at all. But it would keep your cycling legs up really strong.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could probably go back and look at the YouTube videos and I'll show you what my routine was. It's a simple ass routine.
My routine back when I was on the cycling team, my FTP was 380? It came out to like 380 something. But I would lift twice a week and I would go in and just, one day the main lift was deadlift and the other main day was squats. And I would always the exercise that I would follow both of those was explosive quarter squats. And then I would do two uppers and then pretty much just go to band work after that. So my whole strength training session would be like 30 minutes. But I would do it twice a week, and it was brutal.
Yeah, I think I can't. We must have removed all these YouTube videos. I was going to try to show you guys. But I think, honestly, you can get away with being a very buff and strong endurance athlete with one hard strength training session a week. But most people just don't go hard enough for it to actually make the difference.
Yeah, that was the thing is I would lift on Mondays and Thursdays back then on the cycling team. There was no way that you could push it any closer. And shit, sometimes I'd be so sore that I would do lifting on Friday. And then if we were racing that weekend, I would only lift on Monday. Otherwise, you'd lift on Friday and show up to Saturday and Sunday races. And you were just you're like, no, I'm just basically hanging on for a group ride. There's nothing I can do.
This is back when I was a one-day-a-week strength trainer. And look at my tiny little boy body.
Ooh, look at that model.
Look at that boy body, dude.
What are you, like 180 pounds?
Yeah, dude.
Your arms are smaller than Parker's are right now.
I know, dude. My nipples are bigger than my arms in that post.
No, his arms are probably bigger than mine. My arms are... Not
this is my
big.
First year doing Spartan Race in this image, and I was actually the biggest I was in my like Spartan racing career. And then I'll try to show you how skinny I got. Did you still Google my name? Half of the time it says I'm married to Cassidy Watton. I'll try to find
and
a real
the other skin. Half is just naked photos.
Yeah, that's right, bitch. That's right.
That's like me. You Google me and it's either booty shot or
nudes. Well, yeah, I can't find it anymore, but I was going to show you. Like, I mean, you can even tell right here. Look how tiny I was there. That's like peak Spartan race career. That's only weights one day a week. And, you know, I was strong as all hell. In this same exact time, I was able to leg curl. I was able to leg curl, I think, this guy up with my hamstring to get us over the fence. And you can just stay strong as fuck and just keep on cranking cranking cardio. Like, that'd be the move. That would really be the move. And I think, Caleb, like, the only way that you're going to get down to the way that you want to, like, really crank on this thing, you need to get down to, like, 210, 215. You're going to have to give up. You're going to have to give up once a week. This would be the magic.
What do you weigh right now? 225?
I'm at 227 right now.
227?
Yeah.
I think 215-ish at least. Dude, you'd be a machine. But you're tall, too, so.
I'm slowly dropping weight. Shit, a month ago I was 236, 237.
Damn.
So I did a 3-day fast, and then I'm fasting every Sunday from this point moving forward, and just slowly dropping weight, getting on the bike more, running more, not hitting the gym as hard, heavy wise. It's hard to not, you know, you still want to go in there and lift heavy. You want to be a dude.
Yeah.
But I'm still cycling more than I have since last starvation. So last starvation, I had like 2 months to prepare. I didn't even own a bike at that point. So I was like, got to get a bike. And then I started cycling a little bit. So I didn't go into it fully prepared last year. I was just like, F it. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Do you have a Training Peaks account?
Who?
You. You have a Training Peaks account?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh. So it's a training software. Whatever. I'm going to send you an invite. I'm going to put you on, and then I'll send me what you have. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put you on a weekly schedule for biking. Okay. And what we'll do is we'll do something similar to what I'm doing. Yeah. But every Monday and Friday, you're going to have some thresholds. Mondays will be longer. Fridays will be shorter. And we'll just build that power up on the bike. Yeah. And then everything else will be just pretty much steady. And then we'll have like one speed day a week, but it'll be like 1K repeats, not super, super short, but
yeah.
And then pick one day a week that you want off, full rest. None of this other triathlete bullshit where they're like, oh, but I got to swim that day. It's an easy swim. It's a rest day. And I'm like, that's not a rest day. I bench out on Sundays.
See that Tour de France book. I have like the Tour de France, like how they trained and the training that they're doing. There's no rest days.
Yeah, but but there's a huge 30 difference. Hours. So yeah, but the difference is most people that we are coaching, Hunter, they have full-time jobs, and they don't understand that them taking a full day off is so beneficial. Like, their bodies just cannot hold the amount of stress. They're not, oh, I'm training today, but I'm also off my feet and on the couch post-massage and a meal for a three-hour nap or five-hour nap plus 9 hours of sleep at night.
They're
like, well, they're training 7 days a week. I'm like, they're also accumulating 15 plus hours of rest every day. Of course, anybody could train 7 days a week. They're like, oh, let me get up. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to get a massage, and I'm going to go sit in my lazy boy while I watch something, and then sack out, eat, go train. Like, yeah, it's perfect cycle.
Sounds a lot like somebody I know.
See, and that's another thing that people are like, oh, well, you know, how does he do this volume? Like, I was looking at Morgan's Instagram. You know Morgan, he does races for USA Triathlon.
Okay.
God dang, what's his Morgan, is it Caldwell? God, I can't remember him. I love his Instagram.
It's just him doing speed work on the treadmill all the time.
Yeah, Morgan Cadwell Pearson.
Yeah, I was just chatting with him yesterday.
Yeah, I love following his page, and he posted a video of his pre-race activation day. And I see comments, they're like, dude, why do you do so much before a race? And I'm like, Yeah, for a normal age group or person that's working 30 to 40 hours a week, that's a huge day of training. And I'm like, for him, this is not that much when you look at the volume over a course of a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for him, an Olympic distance triathlon race, the overall distance is extremely small compared to his volume of training. This is how they're able to race at the intensity that they do. It's just like Kipchoge and all these marathon runners. The marathon distance itself is a walk in the park for these people. Like, they can easily go bang out a 26.2-mile run.
Yeah. I mean, he would do, I think I remember reading about Kipchoge doing tempo runs at like 5:15 every single week.
Oh, for yeah.
40K.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's doing 120 miles on big weeks, like 120 miles a week. Like, yeah. you do that. And marathon distance is going to be like, oh, what are you doing today? I'm going to go run a marathon. I'm going to go run 20 miles.
No, it's interesting, though. It's interesting how, like, these guys do all this volume, but some of them end up being so flat. The only person that I know that does a ton of volume and continuously ends up freaking me out is John Albin and his training partner. What's the name of the guy who holds all the records in trail running and ultras? He's a little skinny French kid or Spanish kid.
I don't know.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. It's
come on.
It's not Gerard. It's
come on. Can somebody name this guy? Hold on. Kills everything.
Hold on.
He's won UTMB a bunch of times. He holds the VK world record.
Okay. Killian Jornet.
Killian Jornet. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I think I look at my book.
If you guys look at those guys' volume weeks, like, let's just look this up. Killian.
Well, that's why I was joking about, like, Alex being just his mentality is an ultra trail runner. Because it's just like, hey, we don't stretch. We just go out and bang out 15, 20 miles, and then we're just going to eat greasy tacos. And somehow just, like, if you look at Courtney DeWalter, she's the GOAT.
She's incredible.
She's unbelievable. And when you ask her, I remember when she was on Joe Rogan years ago, he was like, so what is your diet? Like, it must be so dialed in. And she's like, no, I had, like, two cheeseburgers earlier or whatever, but... I mean, the amount of volume she's doing, she's probably just trying to eat enough.
Yeah.
Let's see here, dude.
It's like when you're doing a triathlon, you're just trying to eat. Just constantly.
It's an eating competition.
It doesn't matter what, like Snickers, Rice Krispies, anything you can get in your belly.
Bro. I think this guy ran a 2:11 marathon not too long ago. Look at his October week. 93 hours, 117,000 feet of climbing, 217 miles. Now, this is January. Let's look at the numbers. This is 26
hours. 63,000 feet. Oh, my God, dude.
22 hours, 29 hours, 23 hours, 25 hours, 30 hours, 24 hours.
26,000 feet in a week? That's almost Everest every week.
58,000, dude. And Albin's doing the same thing. Albin is doing the same thing.
I mean, you can do that when you weigh as much as a ear swab.
So I'm just going to show you, like, my Strava after this. Atkins has crazy numbers too. But, I mean, this guy right here he's in the middle of the week. 20 hours. 11. Let's see, another week. 18 hours, 17 hours. Now, just to give you guys context, John Albin won. John Albin won that most recent ultra.
Tough Mudder Infinity.
Yeah. And this is like a casual run for him, just running a 10 miler at 16:19 pace. I don't know why none of my. Okay, let's see. This is the amount of distance that he does per week. And this is our difference. He's running an average. I got hurt, but still 45 miles. I'm getting 18.6. He's running average of 6 hours a week. I'm doing an average of four. He's getting 8,000. I'm getting 1,300. bike. I'm whooping his ass on the bike because I'm not a pussy. I'm doubling him on the bike, and you can obviously see he's, but he, what he really does, I think, is skiing, which is crazy. These guys are crushing it. Now let's look at here. I want to show you guys another difference. So let's just go to my weeks.
Don't cross country skiers have the highest VO2 max in all of sport?
Yeah. But these guys are doing.
Yeah. Speed skaters are pretty incredible too. Alpine, like cross country skiers, speed skaters, and rowers. Rowers are unbelievable. I remember when I was in New York and we had guys that we were coaching for cycling, we would have these guys that were like 150 pounds coming in from like collegiate D1 rowing. And you just put them on a bike and instantaneously, like they all had to start category five. They were not category five riders, but they had to start there. And these guys were category three, like immediately once they learned how to ride a bike and race tactics. Like you just, you could put them on a hill and they would just see you later. Just unbelievable. Like power. Just see you. Peace.
Yeah. Yeah, but you put them in the hills, you can't do that anymore. That strength to weight ratio. Are you talking about like climbing?
On a bike.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying like if you put that same person because they're so big, that's one of the things that.
Well,
I've
these
noticed.
Were the lighter weight guys. These were the dudes that were coming in that were like 150, 160 pounds.
Oh, really?
Not like guys like our size. And they were previous rowers. And, dude, just you're like, holy shit. Like, some of them you would think had been riding a bike for years. And they're like, no, man, I just got my bike. I want to get into racing. And you're like, oh, my God.
I found out firsthand during starvation how hard uphills are when you're heavy. That's why I don't want to go into it again.
Heavy. Chubby boy. Dude, you should, honestly, I'm going out to Park City to train end of April through May, and that is going to be exciting. Like, I'm going to bike up and down that same route a couple times just to put a little thunder in these thighs.
You mean Garsman?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
No, that thing is rough.
Hey, Caleb, one of the things we can do to manipulate climbing is they have these stacks for you. You have an indoor trainer, right?
I have a Concept too.
Oh, okay. Well, you can still do it with that. Lift the front end to like a 5% incline.
Okay.
All right. And then what we'll do is we'll simulate big watts, and you can go low cadence, like 65 to 70 RPMs. And you just grind for about 4 to 6 minutes, and then you recover.
So, how does lifting the front help a Concept too, though?
Because your body will have to position into climbing muscles because it's gonna simulate an incline.
Got it.
So naturally, you're gonna find balance, you know, to gravity, right? Like you're always, whether the incline goes up or not, you're always going to be trying to find that balance. So it's going to put you into a climbing position.
Huh.
We used to do that a shit.
You're learning something new too, Hunter.
Yeah. So we used to do that a ton. I would literally grab books or anything. And I bought one of those little wheel stands for my front bike. This is before they had adjustable inclines from like Wahoo makes with their trainer. Called the kicker climb, and if you get on,
I'm kind of pissed off at Wahoo right now. Yeah, I bought one of these fucking $600 things, and you get it, and it doesn't come with a cassette. So now I have to go buy a new cassette to match my bike.
But I told you, I said the reason why that is because if you have a specific group set, it's so you can match your cassette.
They don't market it like that. And now I've had this thing just sitting in my garage for a fucking week and I'm trying to go get one of these. Fuck you, man.
Dude, and you can't go get one because his roads are washed out and he has to go on an adventure every time he leaves.
Yeah, dude, they could suck my butt cheeks.
Strap your back wheel to your bike. I mean, to your back. Hike that shit down. Take it to the bike shop and say, this is the rear wheel I have because this is my cassette. Or just take a photo of your cassette. If it's a SRAM or if it's a Shimano, the gear ratio you have, like maybe it's a 10-32, whatever it is. just tell them this is what I need and just pop that shit on your trainer and go.
Yeah, no, I gotta go. I went down to REI the other day to go buy it, and it was just so packed full of people. I was sitting there with the thing, and I was like, I want to buy this. And they're like, we just want to make sure it's perfect. And I'm like, okay, I will wait here for you to do whatever you do. And then all these losers in flannels are walking around. They're just talking to all the REI people. I'm like, you have nothing to do with your lives. So you're just sitting here, and this is the pinnacle of your day, sitting to and talking to another person, REI. I need to buy this shit and get the hell out of here. And I had to flip out, and I walked out.
REI is an adventure in its own.
Oh, dude.
I love that story.
I used to go to the REI down in Santa Monica. I'll tell you guys a funny story. So the first week I had ever moved to California, or first month I was ever in California, we like got here and we're like, dude, we need to get some outdoor gear. This is an outdoorsy place. So we go online, we look up REI, and they had one of the garage sales coming up.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time that was happening, they had one of these like Santa, whatever it's called, like a Santa March. You know, it's like a Santa party. And we went out and we drank like crazy. And we woke up. I woke up with the door to the car open and I was passed out in the seat. My buddy is in the back of the car with half of his body hanging out of the car, his upper body in the car, his other half out of the car. And we are in the street this way. Like the car is parked on the side of the road, but this is happening in like the dusk time. The lights just starting to come up. And we're like, wake up. I'm like, dude, garage sale, go. We run down the street and we get there and we're in line now. And there's hundreds of people outside. And we just like pull up in line, just like burping up beer and vodka in our mouths and like just kind of like harassing people at this point, trying to cut in the line. And we got a ton of like amazing stuff. I maybe spent $150 and got like the equivalent of like $1,500 in return. It was ridiculous. Backpacks, yes. Knives, shoes, headlamps. Oh, like, it was amazing.
Those boots that I was wearing at Kyle's Brazos 100. Dude, I bought those things years ago, and they never have like 13s.
Yep.
And I paid like $30 for these boots, and it was because somebody wore them, and I was like, where? In their house?
Yeah, I know. Put it on, took a picture.
Yeah, and they're oboes. They're like $170 boots or some shit. And I paid like $30 for them, and I still just beat the crap out of them, and they haven't died.
Yeah. The one down here in Santa Monica is a homeless shelter. It's like right in front of all the crazies and things like that. So you can't tell if the people who are walking into the store are homeless or just really avid hikers. It's a very interesting culture. But they had to move the place, so
They're one and the same. If you think about it, hobos are just really good hikers because they're just out hiking all day.
I beg all you guys, please go hike the Appalachian Trail, like the section that I did, and go meet the people that are the people who live on trail. Like they're the people who service all of the hobo shacks that they call like you know shelters. It's insane. Yeah. You can't tell if these people are humans, and I mean it's a 10 out of 10 experience.
I know that's a goal of mine is to hike the AT.
Let's get her done, baby. Someone just asked. It is. Someone just asked if I got that core body temperature device. This is what I was going to tell you guys about the most recent investments that I've made into training to get in peak form. So, I wanted to share this with you. Look, listen to all this science. So. I decided I was going to get a nutritionist because I can't keep an eye on myself. I've got a problem.
The first step is acceptance.
Yes. I have a problem. And then I decided that I was going to start doing altitude training again just to get that last piece of a push. So in the past week alone, I contacted the altitude center training center in London, had a consultation with them to create up a formula, which we're going to post some videos about. I got a nutritionist. I got a blood lactate tester. I just got 60 feet of turf at the ranch. And this is like my whole formula to set the world record. Now listen to this. World record is 53 minutes and 22 seconds. That comes out to 3,204 seconds. You take 2% of that, which is the gain potentially by losing the weight, that's 64 seconds. Then if you can gain another 2% or 3% by using altitude training, you now get an extra 96 seconds. So you add the two of those up, the potential of the world record, I believe, is 50 minutes and 46 seconds this year.
Holy shit.
If everything comes down. I've memorized these numbers. I'm a tattoo on my fucking forehead.
They're going to be written backwards right here, so when he looks in the mirror, he can read it.
Yeah. That's the exact plan. Altitude training, nutritionist, blood lactate testing, and I built an entire Hyrox at my house. Between having like Woodway treadmill now to do that perfect interval training, I've got all of the sleds. I have multiple sleds, so I don't have to switch the material around. Sandbags, kettlebells, like everything is nailed down to an exactness. There's no way to fuck this up. And I have all the tape measurements and exactness on the turf in my house. There's nothing that can go wrong. And I've completely
You stay off the mountain bike, yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you guys a caveat here. The amount of money that I'll make at World Championships will be completely spent by the time I get here because the amount of money that all this is costing.
Not about money. It's about titles. It's about holding your hand.
It is. But if you guys are wondering what it really takes, like I've been studying Tour de France just recently, and you're listening to all the exchanges of money that are made between like these elite coaches and all the equipment sponsors and everything.
It's crazy.
They're flying around on private jets and everything like that. We're not even one thousandth of that kind of budget.
Yeah, it's they're paying more in taxes than on that shit.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely crazy, but that's it. That's the formula. I came up with it. So I figured I would shoot the shit with you guys about that and then also try to shoot the shit with you guys about your goals. Dude, and what you're going to do.
There's literally, if I could just throw like two or three things into my house immediately, like if budget wasn't an issue, I would probably get a, I'd definitely get a Woodway. I'd get a ski erg and I'd get a Vitruvian. For a one-stop shop lifting. Because the way that I want to lift in order for the performance, I want to be able to do that eccentric and concentric weight difference.
Yep.
And then it's literally this big. And boom, done. I want a ski erg so fucking bad.
Yeah. Every time I go to the gym, people don't know how to use the ski ergs at my gym, so they're always broken. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I can never like have a consistent skier workout because they're always broken. I went in yesterday and the three ski ergs that were there out of order. I was like, what the hell?
Like I've been begging my gym to get one. I'm like, can y'all please buy a ski erg? They're like, we don't have a use for one. I'm like, I can literally point out 12 grand in equipment right now. That was a waste of money in this gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's our whole new free weight section. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't need this, you didn't need that, and you didn't need that. That just is glam. It's just literally for the eyes. It's pointless.
So what I'm planning on doing is my house is at 5,000 feet. I have this battery pack that they sent me, this big-ass fucking battery pack. I will literally drive in my truck to Big Bear with the Vitruvian in it and the core kicker. So I bought all this stuff. So I can literally just go park on the side of the road and just do put the kicker down, plug it into this battery pack the Vitruvian thing, and I will basically do what the hell are those called? Zwift competitions just at 7,000 feet. And I'll just put my truck bed side down, snacks, and just fuck people up. I will literally I literally am set up this plan with them where I'm literally just kind of continuing to undulate between altitudes. Of going up like zone two, all that kind of long cardio stuff, stay up longer. Yeah. And ever since I hurt my shoulder, like, you know, obviously I'm not going to be a pussy forever. I'm not going to stay on my bike, but just especially at this period in time, there's no point in risking it going around, getting any kind of potential falling on the bike again, just in this last period of time.
Yeah.
And I'll just Zwift it. And that's why I got all the material. And what else was I just going to tell you guys before I talked about crashing?
What about your bike ride coming up?
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to tell you guys about. Shit. So this is what I want to show you guys. Talk amongst each other. I have to bring this up on the maps.
So, Parker, Friday at 4 p.m., the Run Club for High Rocks Houston. How many people have you gotten confirmed coming to that?
I know Steven might come. Steven Ruta, he's an athlete that Hunter and I coach. We actually had a really awesome update conversation with him yesterday. He's probably going to come. Imani said that she's like, I'll just meet y'all at the cafe because she's like, she's hilarious. She just goes, 3 mile run. I'm not embarrassing myself twice over the course of the weekend. So,
yeah, and a decent turnout.
Yeah, I mean, hey, whatever. They're gonna miss out on you and me. So yeah, that's
I'm bringing. If anybody's listening, I'm bringing product too. I'm gonna bring some Builder, Hydro Strength and Pre. So get there, get some. I'm gonna give out 2 tubs. So if you're there and you have nothing to do at 4 p.m. Friday, come hang out with us. We're going to run anywhere between 2 and 3 miles, just kind of a shakeout run. We're going to end at a cafe, get some dinner or a snack afterwards. And
Too Sweet is good. Like, it's good.
Is it a dinner place or is it a snack place?
No, so they're a coffee shop that just has awesome food and pastries.
Snacks.
Like, they actually have good food. It's tasty. And, dude, they actually have a smoothie bowl that is banging.
Sick.
Like, I don't know why I'm obsessed with, like, smoothie bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
You guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Hunter, do you like the Concept 2 bike compared to a stationary bike? Well, I honestly have not tried the Wahoo. But I'll just say, man, the Concept 2 bike is $900. Getting a kicker and then the cassette, that's $750. And then you have to buy a bike. It's going to cost you anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 minimum.
Yeah.
And that Concept 2 bike is just, I mean, you can't ride it obviously, but if you're just on a budget and you have like, you're like, hey, I don't mind. I don't need to ride outside. That Concept 2 bike is a fucking 11.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a sweet thing. The only thing that the only main difference is to take into consideration is with the difference with the Wahoo, if you're doing very specific training, you can set it to where if you know your power numbers, like your zone 1, 2, 3, your thresholds and everything, you can set the program to where the kicker will auto change to that wattage for X amount of time. Like that's one of the things that we do with Zwift, with Training Peaks, is it will auto put the workout into Zwift. So the machine will change with the interval. So you don't have to touch shit. That is one of the nice things.
Well, yeah, that doesn't have that kind of fancy stuff, but it does the job.
So but you guys see one last thing. Dude, those Puma spin shoes that you were wearing on the Concept 2, those are fresh, dude.
I didn't even know they made them, and they sent them to me as a gift.
Yeah, they're dope. They looked really good in the video. I was like, ooh, I like that orange, that neon orange.
Dude, you know who just connected with me is your friends at Varlo. They reached out to me. The CEO just hit me up and was like, hey, man. I love what you're doing. I was like, thanks, bro. I love your shit. And he's just like, well, do you want some more stuff? And so they're going to send me over another bike kit, I think, which I'm pumped about. Let's see here. Share screen. Bougie, bougie, bougie. Okay, do you guys see this? Now, here's where we start. Crestline's right there. Cabin's right here. Now, I want to be honest with people. I've always wanted to bike from my place in Malibu to the cabin or cabin to my place in Malibu. We decided to go cabin over so that we can enjoy Malibu. I'll admit, guys, we are going to start at around 2 a.m. My house is right here. Basically, you ride up this small-ass hill for 2 miles and then ride down this hill for literally 12 miles. We're going to skip this part because it's going to be 2 a.m. and it's just going to be literally like a 30-plus minute downhill in the pitch dark. not willing to risk it right now. So that will come another time, but we're going to ride from a Starbucks at the bottom. And I want to ask your guys' opinion. If you had the choice to either go the High Line, and this is all underneath the mountains, and this is obviously this huge mountain range, but then you have to go through literally the dead center of LA, like Pasadena, Hollywood, Burbank, all the way through the backside of Malibu, or, and that's 4,000 feet of climbing, or you take the southern route where we go down through Riverside, Corona, and then ride the beach. You're literally on a bike path starting right here, all the way on the beach, all the way to the top.
I like that bottom path, because top path, you're going to be hitting a ton of lights. So you're going to be stopping a lot.
Yeah, the same going south too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you want the elevation in the mountain side, I would definitely take the top route. If you want the elevation change.
Yeah, there's about 2,000 feet in difference.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Look at all the traffic, dude. That's right now. Look how miserable that is. This is why I hate LA.
7:40.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we're two miles. You can walk it faster than you can drive it.
I'll shoot you guys straight. I think we're going to do this route. Because if we start at like 2 or 3 a.m. right here, by the time we cover this distance, so look, that's 32 miles. So in 2 hours, we're going to have covered, let's do some layers again, terrain. I want to take that away. In 2 hours, we have got through this city, and we'll be out in the open again. So basically, about 2.5 hours, we'll be in the open for a while. And then, so this is now like 6 a.m. right here. The city hasn't even woke up. So now we've got basically 6 a.m. We have to cover 50 more miles from here, about 40 miles from here to here, in the next 2 hours before the city wakes up. And then basically we've got a bike path where we've got nobody bothering us for this long.
Take the bottom route.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all in total, guys.
And the coastline will be great once that time hits.
All in all, 123 miles.
Yeah, that'll be a good ride.
You with that top path, it's going to be like riding in London. You're just having to fight everyone.
Oh, dude, I love London. I miss going back. I'm not actually going to Europe anymore, so I was planning on having this big European tour, but I could show you guys the email, but I don't think they probably would like it. But I guess like we're not really allowed to attend the last chance qualifiers. It's really weird.
Why?
Well, they probably don't want you taking spots from other people.
But that doesn't make any sense. We've already qualified.
Yeah, but so if you just race and you place, they would have to make they could just be like, okay, you don't count towards the qualifier, but I get it in a way. Like, no, if you've qualified, you don't need to race, so we're not going to allow you to race.
I just think it's stupid because I think they're also doing media and they're not going to let us be in the wave with the guys that are getting filmed. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know why you do that.
How can you allow someone or disallow someone to not show up? Like, you're not allowed to.
You're just not in the wave. You're not in the wave that matters is basically what's happening. Hmm. And I don't get it. Because if that makes sense, then there's no time for us to really race between now and world championships in the United States.
There's Anaheim.
I know, but that's the last chance qualifier.
Yeah. They're not letting you qualify, but they're not letting you race that one?
I don't know. The email's kind of really weird. I don't really get it. They're like, we'll see if we have spaces. I was like, the fuck? Yeah. So,
No, I get it. Maybe they're trying to look at it from, you know, getting more competition in, like build the sport.
I don't know if they realize that you bring in more competition.
I was just thinking that as well. Yeah. I'm like,
what? I got a question because I just invested in this nutritionist. Where do you get? Have you worked with a nutritionist before?
Yeah.
Not me.
I mean, you should see. I'll explain some of this guy's stuff. I found him, become a buddy of mine. Then I kind of started poking at him, and now we're going to work together. And it's aggressive. I mean, it's pretty gosh darn aggressive, dude. I need to drink 6 to 7 liters of water a day.
That makes sense. With your size, with the amount, that seems like a minimum.
Ouch. I've already got these two right here. So this will be 50 ounces just by the time I get started on this workout. I just feel like I want to piss and die all the time. I'm supposed to be, I mean, dude, listen to this pre-workout consumption, 5 grams of creatine, 800 milligrams of electrolytes, 2 grams beta alanine, 25 grams of carbs. Then during, I need to have 25 grams of carbs, and then do another 25 grams of carbs, more creatine, more beta alanine. That's just in a 1 hour session. In a 2 hour session, I have to have 75 grams and then a gel on top of it. And then I need to have more sodium, more creatine, more beta alanine. Like, the guy's cranking me up with ingredients and carbs during these workouts. I've been trying to pull back on stuff just because I've been gaining too much weight, but he doesn't think I've been eating enough. And I was like, fuck. So I'm eating a ton. Like, I already ate like a metric ton of food this morning, and the amount of meals that I have to have throughout the day is pretty high. Pretty gosh darn high. So I don't know, when you worked with your nutritionist, did the guy have you cutting down more, or did he have you up?
No, initially when I first started doing it, my amount went up, and it was because I wasn't eating enough. So it was basically like a rebuild, get my energy levels back up, and I saw the performance increase, and then we started fine tuning everything.
Caleb, you ever done any of this kind of stuff?
No, I've never had a nutritionist outside of like when I played collegiate football. They kind of gave you guidelines, but nothing like strict dietary plans.
Sounds like you might need to get one. You're catfishing people, by the way, right now.
It says the person who has like a 6-year-old photo on their Instagram.
Look at this. Look at this catfishing thing.
It's 3 years ago. That wasn't even that long ago.
Caleb.
3 years is a long time ago.
Caleb.
It's so small that no one can even see me. It's just a profile.
Caleb, the catfish. Caleb's catfishing chicks right now. Watch this.
It's an Instagram photo. If it was like a dating website. Oh. Like,
now this photo right here, people.
It's a good photo, though.
It is a great photo. That's 3 years ago. He looks ripped, and he does look absolutely amazing. That's a hot dude. That's a catfish.
Yeah, but I'm posting photos of me recently, though.
Yeah. That's true. That one is. Right there, that's your calling card. Because everybody sees
Go to your profile real quick. Let's see that profile photo of you running and jumping.
Dude, there's Caleb right there. Caleb, what are you doing on the screen again? Oh, dude, Caleb.
Just taking a nap.
No wonder you're having a hard time. Let's see how much he was doing right there. This guy's such a beast.
A lot of weight. Jesus.
Yeah, he's a big man. Dude, this has been my logo for like 5 years.
Exactly.
I just left it there.
You're catfishing people. You're no longer that skinny.
No,
you're no longer that skinny.
No. Here's the thing, dude. No, that's the wrong thing. Scary. But yeah, that's scary. This right here, dude, that's been there forever. I'm not changing just recently. I'm not changing it just recently to an old picture of myself. That's manipulative.
I don't have any good photos because I don't have professional photographers going around taking photos of me. I'm like, you know, this is a good photo.
I'm going to find an old picture of myself and see. That'd be like me putting this as my profile picture. Market manipulation. Yeah, dude. That was a dirty trick, Caleb. I'm just letting women know right now. Catfish. Thoughts on the lack of personality within the Elite 15. Well, I'm not allowed to talk about anybody in Elite 15 anymore because anytime I bring them up, they get their feelings hurt and they all band against me like a bag of pussies. They're just Yeah. It's
you can't talk bad about them, but they're a bag of pussies.
They are, dude. It just seems like every single time, you know, I call these guys, I congratulate them, I check in on them, and then as soon as like I don't talk to them for a couple days, they go run a race. Then all of a sudden, I just see them all in these interviews, just talking shit, all these kind of things. So I was supposed to have Dylan Scott on the show recently, and I contacted him. I'll read the exact messages out of my phone of what I said. I contacted him. And I said, hey, congratulations. I just want you to know I didn't think you had it in you, and I said that on the show last week. Way to prove me wrong. I thought that was a nice thing to say.
That's actually pretty – I was just thinking it's funny that that's how it went. I love watching Greg Doucette.
Yep. He's amazing.
And he's awesome. He just keeps it real, and he – as soon as – if he – is wrong about something, he's like, I was wrong. And he recently did that with the Arnold, and it was really awesome for him to see. Like, he literally, like, on his own, you know, his channel, he was like, I had said this guy will not win, and I was proven wrong, and I'm happy I was proven wrong, and had a great interview with the guy. It was awesome. Like, but some people just think he's just trying to stir shit and talk shit. He just keeps it real. Wow. He's straight up. I think too many people just get their feelings hurt too easy about some of this shit. And I'm like, yo, man, like, if you want good content and you want people talking about you, then don't get mad at it.
Yeah. Well,
press is press.
These guys are all, I don't know, we're all competitors, so it's difficult. But in return, he said some spiteful things back to me, and I was like, geez. That did not turn out the way I wanted it to. And instead of bringing him on the show and plastering the guy, I just said, hey, listen, I'm not going to be able to make this happen. And I just like, I recognize, I'm like, God dang. You know, it's interesting. Like, I think it's especially challenging when we get closer to competition.
Yeah.
We get very tense.
Yeah.
But I don't talk to these guys. These guys aren't part of my daily life at all.
Yeah.
The only person that I've had a long standing relationship with during all this is Ryan Kent. Like, it's just because he and I have competed against each other for 10 years. Like, even if he was my worst enemy, I still have enough time with that guy that I still stay in touch with him and everything like that. Everybody else in the Elite 15, I've met within the last like year or two.
Yeah. And Ryan just seems like a regular dude. He's like, yo, man, we're here, we're competing. When we're on the course, you know, we're enemies, but outside of that, like, I'm not letting it bug me that much.
It's interesting. I mean, listen, at this point,
sounds like he's got some self-confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I let him, dude, let him. I mean, it's just, you have to bark a little bit. Otherwise no one's going to pay attention, but there's reality. And then there's your reality. Yeah. You just have to keep both of them in check.
As of right now, who do you think your closest competition is in the Elite 15?
I mean, it's always been Rakovich. So if you do the math on this, like, I think one of the other people you need to some of the other people, like, need to pay attention to this. The actual other person that really needs to be looked at is Toby Lautwein. Toby Lautwein was in second place at World Championships, I think, in 2019, third in 2020, first in 2021. I don't think he was able to come into 2022, and then he took third in 2023. Like, that's an astoundingly good record as far as world championships goes. So if you want to know who's going to perform the best at world championships, Toby Lautwein is somebody everyone needs to look at. Then there's Ronkovich. I don't know if he competed in 2019 or 2020, but in 2021, he took second. 2022, he took third. 2023, he took second. So 2-3-2 is really good. It's like very, very good. And Ronkovich has like been just most consistent over the past year. So I'd say him. And then you have Ryan Kent that shows up and does really well. You know, I think Ryan has done impressive stuff. Like, he'll be a podium contender, but he's also like this, like, boom, boom, boom. And like, when you have results like that, it's all over the place. Dylan just had two good results. But if I'm going to be totally honest, and I'll say this to anybody, he was not even a consideration to anybody. And then they changed the sleds. And then the past two races where they changed the sleds and he had new sleds, his times were just astoundingly faster. So if you just look at that metric alone, how do you go from being like a nobody in these events, in the Elite 15 event, to all of a sudden a contender. So they've changed that dynamic, and High Rocks is going to need to really consider that their sleds have changed because they've changed the actual, it's no longer weight bearing. It's basically they changed the sled, so there's different surface tension. Different surface tension means there's faster times. A humongous aspect of High Rocks is the sleds. It's the most defining factor of High Rocks. It's what brings together the strong people and allows them to have somewhat of this interesting conversation piece amongst the cardio guys. Yeah. That has changed drastically. And if they want the sport to continue the way that it originated, they're going to have to adjust it. I'm assuming with another probably 20 to 25 kilo plate to adjust for the new surface tension. And I mean that with absolute honesty. Here's another really embarrassing thing they did. They gave half of the girls in the Elite 15 field in DC an extra plate. I don't know if you guys heard about
that. It happened in the age group.
Yeah, so it's like these guys...
The women got an extra 25-kilo plate in the women's regular women's open category.
Yeah.
An extra 20. That's a shitload of weight.
Yeah, I know, dude. And it, like I'm no longer going to get myself involved in these conversations because the last time I shared my opinion, it became this big stir up and I got, the whole company of High Rocks contacted me all upset because I shared truth. And I just need to wash my hands of it because I'm an athlete. I'm not an organizer. Yeah. And I get it. I have my own events. And when I held HyberCon games the first year, all the rowers stopped working. So I get where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Sometimes things just don't work out. But if we go back to the original part of this conversation, the sleds are changing. So athletes that may have not have been a consideration before will change. Yeah. It will change. And you're going to notice that. And I don't really care because I train to be fitter than everybody in everything, not just the sleds. But the people who used to be of interest and consideration before may change. And Ronkovich used to be this guy who was really, really good because of his ability to do sleds. And now all of a sudden, the sleds changing all of a sudden potentially takes Ronkovich and change him drastically. Ronkovich, yeah. To be totally honest, no insults. You're an amazing athlete. I'm putting you as my number two competitor, number one competitor, but you're not astoundingly good at machines or astoundingly good at running. You have always been somebody who's insanely successful at the sleds. And if they change that, that really changes your position in the running for High Rocks World Championships. Yeah. And it gives all of a sudden this thinner, these little athlete crowd a bigger opportunity. I think my friend's here, so I got to leave in like 2 minutes. But I will
we'll
say
give you three.
This is a game changer, I will say. If anybody does not notice this, I'll just tell you guys, go look at Dylan Scott's most last three races and then go look at his most recent two. I'm not going to say all of a sudden this person just took 3 minutes off miraculously in his training. It doesn't happen. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken you, 5 years to shave off more than that time? Not a training cycle?
What's that?
I was like, over the last, 4 or 5 years, it's taking you to shave off the 7 minutes from 60 to 53.
Oh, yeah.
Not just, I did a 12-week training block, and now I'm 3 minutes faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you're going from, like, a 75-minute to a 72-minute. When you're creeping in on that, a 3-minute margin is massive.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, the time that I just gave you guys with that whole mathematical problem, I'm having to lose 15 pounds of weight.
It's a lot.
I'm having to go to altitude to go do an altitude camp, and I'm having to work with my running coach and another coach. There's like four massive metrics that have changed. You literally watch the pictures of me. If you go back to my Instagram and you see, let's just say, and I have to leave after this, I will show you guys the difference in the character you're going to see in these two races. This is more, dude. Like, I'm actually having to lose over 20 pounds in weight. This race right here, I was at 208. So you can see the size of the muscle that I have on my body right here. This race down here, where the fuck is it? Come on, baby. Come on, baby. This right here, dude, that picture, you can see how muscle bound I am. I'm 216. I'm 216 at that race. So 214, 216. there's huge transformations to have that kind of stuff. And I have to starve myself and everything. But I'm going to leave on that note. We should dig deeper into this kind of stuff, guys. I'm sorry, but my friend's here and I'm screwing this up. I got into a real big wind. We should not have started talking about this right before I have to leave. All right, guys. I love you and I miss you. I'm going to end the stream.
All right.
Hold on.